Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 7. These are the words of God. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So, Paul, who, when he gets to verse 14, is going to pick back up this for this reason and talk about how he prays. And when he gets to the first verse of the next chapter, is going to take back up this I, the prisoner of the Lord, in order to urge us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling as well, and have our whole lives be about Jesus, is still amazed at the mystery. Last week in verses 1 through 6, we were thinking about his amazement at who was writing the mystery, who was receiving the mystery, who was revealing the mystery of the Spirit, and who was being revealed in the mystery, that is, the Lord Jesus. And this week, he, in verses 7 through 9, he is especially focusing on the ministry of the mystery. We see that it is a ministry that is assigned by grace, assigned by grace. And second, we see that it is a ministry to show bottomless depths of something, to show bottomless depths of something, unsearchable riches, so that what is happening during the ministry of the mystery of the gospel, or the ministry of the gospel, is the revealing of unsearchable riches. And then third, that the ministry of the mystery proclaims an eternal goodness, actually proclaims the goodness that is the purpose of all things. So the grace of the ministry, the content of the ministry, in two parts. First, unsearchable riches, bottomless depths of riches, and second, eternal goodness. So first, the grace, that the ministry is an assignment by God's grace. He says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God to me, by the effective working of his power. And we see both main parts. There's a lot more to grace. Obviously, it's a very big concept, but we see both main parts of God's grace to us. Blessing for those who deserve only curse, and strength for those who have only weakness. My dear children, you are always, always, always to remember that you yourself are someone who deserves only curse, so that you will be grateful for every blessing, even the smallest that comes to you, and that you will not grumble against any difficulty, even the greatest that comes to you. You deserve only curse. God's grace is blessing in Christ for those who deserve only curse, but also strength for those who have only weakness. Do not be proud of anything that you do, for the only strength you have is God's gift to you. It's his grace. You have only weakness. You contributed weakness. He overcame your weakness by his strength. His strength is made perfect in weakness because his grace is sufficient for you. So do not be proud, and do not try to do things in your own strength. Apply all that you are and all that God gives you to be and to have to everything you do, but do not hope that because of your application, your trying, that it will succeed. Hope only in God's strength to make it succeed. So both are here in what Paul says. Paul says, according to the gift of the grace of God. That is, it is something that God did not owe him, but gave to him anyway. That's what a gift is. If he owed it to you, it wouldn't be a gift, it would be a debt. But God is no one's debtor. So he says, according to the gift of the grace of God given me, that's the first part, blessing for those who deserve only curse. And by the effective working of his power. So it wasn't by anything in Paul, but by the effective working of God's power, strength for those who have only weakness. And so his ministry is an assignment by grace. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, he says, this grace was given that I might preach among the Gentiles. So there's purpose and there's assignment there, responsibility. God has taken over Paul's life by grace. And so he gets blessing, even though he deserves only curse. He has strength from God, even though he has only weakness. But it has a purpose. It's not for him to do whatever he wants. A lot of people view grace that way. Oh, God gave me grace, now I can do whatever I want. No! God gives you grace, my dear children, so that you can do whatever he wants. And so you belong entirely to him. And your whole life is a life of thanksgiving and worship to the one who has given you blessing, even though you deserve only curse, and who works in you by his effective power, his strength, even though you have only weakness. So the ministry is an assignment. That's why I can't do anything else, because I do have this particular calling as a minister of the gospel. And we each have our callings. You are all called right now to be children. You're all called to be church members. You're all called to be children of your Heavenly Father and obey all his good laws. You're called one day a week to remember that day, to consecrate it as holy for the whole day, because that is what is assigned to you at that time. If you're a neighbor, you're assigned to be a good neighbor, and so forth. But these are our callings. Those who are not thinking about God and his grace and redemption in Christ may use the word responsibility. And it's true that we have responsibilities. But where a decent, quote-unquote, upstanding, quote-unquote, man would merely say responsibility, you ought to say calling by grace, an assignment. God is bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to all those whom he has loved from before the world began. And he has given me a part in the whole of what he is doing. And so everything I do is a calling. So first, ministry in the gospel is an assignment by grace. Second, ministry in the gospel is an assignment to show bottomless depths. So he says, to preach to the Gentiles, among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That which we are to see when the gospel is being ministered to us, that which those who preach are called to show, that which you desire for your brothers and sisters to see and for your neighbors to see, when you tell them about the Lord Jesus, or when you live with a hope that you desire to give an answer for the hope that is in you, is something that is bottomless and unsearchable. The glorious riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the ministry is all about. That's what we should hope to discover when we read our Bibles, when we sit under preaching, when we are praying for God to open our eyes and renew our minds in order that we would be transformed to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. We're aiming at seeing bottomless depths of riches in Jesus. And we're also aiming at seeing and hearing, as it were, eternal goodness. It says, and to make all see what is the stewardship. It says fellowship here, but the word is stewardship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So he doesn't just take us to the beginning. to see God's plan for revealing his goodness in Jesus. He takes us even before the beginning. It was already hidden in God. It was something that God had planned to do. And it was because he planned to do this goodness in Jesus that he created all things in Jesus to begin with. So when you read at the beginning of Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. One of the things you are to remember, according to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, is that the reason he's creating the heavens and the earth is because he intends to make redeemed sinners know the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And so that intention, that plan to show that those riches in his goodness to redeemed sinners was a plan that was hidden in God already. And then verse 9 says, he created all things through Jesus Christ. So it is through Christ that he's creating, with the intention that eventually we will come to know God's glory in Jesus. So even when you see the creation, you see a beautiful sunset or the trees full of life and green, and you hear the birds singing, or you see the way the tomato plants have jumped up and are taller than most of you now, you are to see things that were made through Jesus as part of God's plan to display in Jesus the glory of his goodness by saving sinners. It's not just nature. It's not just a flourish of his creativity and power. Okay? We do see his creativity. We do see his power. But we're to remember, when we see the greatness of the creation, that all of these things are secondary, pointing us to the glory of the one who would redeem us, so that we would see how good he has been to us, to make us his own, and to give himself to us to be our own in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the ministry of the gospel, in which you reveal the mystery of the gospel. We pray that you would help us not to hold preachers on a pedestal, but to realize how gracious you are to them. And we pray that when we come to serve you and we think about our lives, you would make us to see that it is all by grace, by your blessing, not our deserving, by your strength, because we don't have any, we only have weakness. And so help us, Lord, to, even as you do good things through us, to see even in that the greatness of your glory in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stir up our hearts, we pray, to see the riches that are in Jesus, as we will be able to do forever and ever, because they are bottomless and will never exhaust seeing the riches of your goodness in Jesus. So help us, we pray. Apply to us this portion of your word, we pray, even in his infinitely glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen.